The epistle appointed for this, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, is taken from the book of Proverbs. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything from the beginning. I was set up from eternity, and of old before the earth was made. The depths were not as yet, and I was already conceived. Neither had the fountains of waters as yet sprung out. The mountains with their huge bulk had not yet been established. Before the hills I was brought forth. He had not yet made the earth, nor the rivers, nor the poles of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was present. When with a certain law and compass he enclosed the depths, when he established the sky above and poised the fountains of waters, when he compassed the sea with its bounds and set a law to the waters that they should not pass their limits, when he balanced the foundations of the earth, I was with him forming all things. And I was delighted every day, playing before him at all times, playing in the world. And my delight were to be with the children of men. Now therefore, children, hear me. Blessed are they who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man who hears me, and who watches daily at my gates, and waits at the posts of my doors. He who shall find me shall find life, and shall have salvation from the Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Luke, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph, in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And when the angel had come to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
please be seated. What a beautiful feast day to celebrate here, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And we have to take our first thoughts to Adam and Eve. It was through the disobedience of Adam and Eve that God promised a Redeemer. And it would be she who crushed the head of the serpent and wait for her heel. It is a strange thought to realize that it took the sin of our first parents to bring about such a holy person, such a one that's conceived without sin. It's hard to wrap our heads around this. We also have to think that had not Adam and Eve fallen, we would not have known a Redeemer. We would never have known Our Lady. And look how much we have gained by someone else's fault. It's funny to say that we even sing this even in the Easter liturgy, do we not? Oh, happy fault. For because by this we brought about the greater gift. Mary should always be our first love after our Lord. It is true that we honor and venerate the saints, but Mary should have a very special place in our hearts. For we cannot honor her son without honoring the mother. So without the mother, there's no Mary, there's no Jesus. If there's no Jesus, there's no redemption. If there's no redemption, there's no hope. And if there's no hope, there's nothing. Without Mary's "Behold the handmaid of the Lord," we would still be walking in the shadows of death. Unless we should accuse of paying too much honor, let us always remember that the omnipotent God Almighty could find no greater honor in her than which he conferred her when he chose her to be the mother of his son. This only honor do we not pay to Mary is a divine honor that we give to God alone. But here's a salutation. Hail, full of grace. Never has such a salutation been given to anyone in the Old Testament and the one time in the New and never before or again. Hail, full of grace. Even our Blessed Mother pondered on that. What is he talking about? What are you talking about? And of course, the angel was explaining what was to partake of her. And we knew in her great humility, she was only concerned of one thing. It wasn't the virginity of the Blessed Mother that brought about the Son of God. It was her humility. It was addressed to the one woman among women, to the only one who never came under the power of Satan, to the only one conceived immaculate. That is why we celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception today. Devotion to Our Lady will mean that the Lord will always be with us. For if we are truly devoted to her, we will never do anything to offend God or do anything to dishonor her Son. Devotion should be that of a child for its mother, because that is what our Lord wants. What example does the Blessed Mother give us? Modesty, purity. Didn't she tell the children at Fatima about the deluge of impurity, of immodesty, and how the world would be somewhat swept away with this? And look at it today. Are we following that example? Is our dress and behavior acceptable? Could you stand in front of the Blessed Mother and say that my conduct is acceptable? My behavior is acceptable? We all have a little work to do, all of us. And that's why we have such a great mother to help us. She wants us to call out for her in times that we need her, especially in times of temptation. Lots of times it's very hard to call out because we might think, well, it's a little embarrassing or, well, maybe this or that. Forget that. Don't ever let the devil have his heyday. Don't ever let him do it. On Calvary, as we remember, just before our Lord died, stripped of everything and with nothing else to give, he gives his mother to St. John. And he says, Son, behold thy mother. And then he goes back and uses her title, the only title that Satan is so afraid of. Woman, behold thy son. The word woman was taken all the way back to where Adam and Eve, again, where our Lord said he would be enmity between thee and her seed and his seed. This woman. The relationship between Our Lady and ourselves should be a very close relationship. We all feel like there is no one quite like our mother. And every mother feels that there is no one quite like their son. That's how Our Lady feels in our regard. True. We may have one that might be a black sheep of the family. But usually the mother loves the black sheep because she knows how much that particular child needs love and pity and help. After our Lord had commended his mother into the care of his beloved apostle John, sacred scripture tells us, from that moment the disciple took her to his own. Have we taken Mary to be our own? Have we always acted in such a way that she would never be ashamed of us, again, with our conduct and behavior? She must have extraordinary power with her son and will be able to obtain his assistance for us as no other saint can. Did not St. Bernard say in his memoir that never has it known that anyone who fled to her protection or sought her aid was left unaided? This is how much trust we must have in the Blessed Mother, that she will help us in our need, in our times of temptation, in our times of suffering. Let us remember our confidence in our Blessed Mother. There is a legend long time ago, speaking in a time when the Holy Family was traveling to Egypt. And they stopped off at this little house, and Mary asked Joseph if they could take a rest here for the night, and it was granted to them. And as they stopped there, they noticed that there was a young little girl there who was paralyzed in both arms. And of course, after the meal was over with, Mary, like millions of other mothers, nursing their baby and trying to get him ready to sleep or whatnot, asked the little girl, "Would you like to nurse my baby?" And she said, I can't. And the Blessed Mother says, "Yes, you can. Reach out for my son." "But lady, I can't do this. I can't move my arms." She insisted, "Do as I bid you, dear. Reach out for my son." And as the legend goes, the child reached out and was instantly cured. Our Lady is telling us the same thing. In times of trial and temptation, reach out for her son, and all will be well. God bless you. In the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.